Let's do it.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
We back.
Yep.
Episode 11.
Yes.
Where was I going with this? So we've made it past 10. Yes. That's been fun.
It took some time, but we got here.
Yeah. It's been awesome, man. Just still grinding, trying to figure out how to keep this thing going, what to keep this, you know, how it's going to work, what it's going to be.
Right.
Find our role, I guess, in the podcast world. It's very crowded, very crowded. But it's been fun. I mean, quite honestly, it's been fun. I've been having a blast doing it. So thank you for that, as usual. So we was talking about Kyler Murray.
Oh yeah.
So we'll start the episode a little bit of NFL, I guess. I guess we could start with the Kyler Murray, which we'll probably get on a tangent about the baseball football dynamic. So real quick before we get into that. We'll talk about the quick ones, quick and easy. Joe Flacco got traded today.
Oh, yeah. Fourth round pick.
Yeah. To the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have officially entered the post-Joe Flacco era in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's bittersweet for me as a Ravens fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he did play a pivotal role in that last Super Bowl victory as far as the performance he put up in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
That wasn't just the defense-driven Super Bowl for sure. I mean, defense played really well, but, you know, 11 TDs and no interceptions in a playoff is...
Yeah, that's good.
Know, that's really good. So that's a little bit bittersweet only because, you know, it seems... Now at this point in time, so long ago.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
It does seem like a long ass time ago.
Now that you're not on, you know, Joe Flacco's not your dude no more. So that's a little bit weird for me. However, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for the Lamar Jackson era.
Hell yeah. Should be interesting.
I think it's going to be really exciting. I think depending on what we can do with, you know, our first round pick, I'd really like to see Baltimore pick up N'Keal Harry, wide receiver out of ASU.
Mm-hmm. He ain't going to be there.
At 22?
You think so?
This is a really defensive strong draft, though.
It is a defensive strong draft.
It's a really defensive strong draft, so I'm wondering if he might be there at 22.
Need receivers, though, that are before that. So
that's true.
We'll see. Plus, the combine coming up.
Pittsburgh
will
probably be interested in a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Being that Antonio Brown requested a trade.
Yeah, he out of there. He out of there.
Yeah, but on the Flacco thing, the Broncos, I mean...
Antonio Brown, though, where do you think he's going to end up, though?
Brown?
Yeah. Because I was a little surprised that Joe Flacco, of all people, is, like, confirmed as the trade. Like, so far.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. You know what I mean? I agree. So, very John Elway, weird. Though. Yeah. It's a very John Elway deal. I mean.
Sure. Plus, I wouldn't be surprised if they do something to, in, like, the future as far as, like, this offseason and what
well,
they
I
do
think
with their
to
draft.
I think to a certain extent, though, maybe – part of the fact is that they can't even talk about the Flacco trade for a month.
Exactly.
So maybe other teams just have been either better at covering up any type of Antonio Brown deal, or maybe there's not an Antonio Brown deal there yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah.
I'm on the side of there's not an Antonio Brown deal yet.
No, me neither. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about that for a minute, that dude's coming off of charges for reckless driving. And then he's coming
domestic
off of,
violence,
yeah, those charges so involving some, yeah, pushing his like kid's that. Mom or whatever, yeah, and then throwing furniture off a 14th floor balcony.
Right, but
that almost hit a kid.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean.
I didn't hear about that. I heard the pushing of the mom thing. That was the one where he pushed her out the front door or some shit like that.
Yeah, it was something like that when she came to drop him
silly.
Off or whatever.
That was a little
so.
Silly, but.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, these are just not the kind of stories that he needs in a position when he's
right
wanting
now,
out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly, where he needs.
And quite honestly. Pittsburgh is really the one who doesn't want these kind of stories out because now he makes it
harder
that
for him
much
to
harder
get rid
to trade.
Of. Yeah, exactly.
Or in the sense of it makes it that much harder for them to get
what they
equal
want.
Compensation for what is the talent on the field.
No, I get you.
Brings
that value down.
I don't know. Quite honestly, I hope Baltimore wants no part of Antonio Brown because I would want no part of Antonio Brown. If I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I want no part of Antonio Brown. I would take Dez Bryant gladly right now at this moment in time over what Antonio Brown is at this moment. I mean, like, the dude literally has a bleached beard and blue hair at this moment in time. Like, have you seen recent pictures of him?
I've not.
Check out the Grammy pics that he went with Julian Edelman.
No, I did not see that.
And then I think there's a pick from him at, or an interview from him at like the Pro Bowl And he literally has like a bleach blonde beard, mustache, like Hulk Hogan type thing, and has dyed blue hair.
To each his own, I guess. I've seen weirder.
Yeah, but that dude wasn't...
I've seen weirder.
He wasn't weird until he got paid, and that's my problem with Antonio Brown.
Money make you funny.
Apparently. Right. Apparently. Hey, and money make him funny looking, bro. Because he has always got some funny fucking haircut something going on with his ass.
He can ball, though. The man can ball, so he going to end up somewhere.
I mean, he can ball, but I mean, why would you let money change you? Especially the way maybe that you came up in the draft.
Maybe he was just always like that, and now that he has the money, he can just... You know what I mean? Maybe. Now he can just act... Now he's proven himself, so now he can act how he wants to act.
He's drunk on himself.
You know what I mean?
You know, they say when you drink, it's become... Like, if you're one type of person, when you drink, it's multiplied.
Right.
So maybe it's with him. Maybe he just had more money to... I don't know.
Or maybe he just established himself, and now he just wants to be himself. Like, he doesn't have to fit a mold, in a sense. I don't know. Maybe just
he's doing
thing.
More than not fitting a mold, bro.
Look, man,
I've
seen weirder. But the bottom line is that he's going to end up somewhere.
So where?
I don't know where.
Yeah, I don't know where either.
But he's going to end up somewhere.
He's a hell of a player.
That's
I just
what I'm
don't
saying.
Want
like,
any of that baggage. I'd take Le'Veon Bell, because Le'Veon Bell at least stuck to his guns. He was just like, yo, I want to get paid.
And it makes honestly, you wonder if there was some dynamic. How much of a headache was Antonio Brown before this, though? He wasn't... It's not like you always heard about this dude. I mean,
maybe
honestly, you hear more...
Maybe this is just the point where it boiled over, though.
You hear
you
more about Odell Beckham than you hear about Antonio Brown, and honestly, I'd probably take Antonio Brown right now over Odell Beckham in the sense of... On like off the field antics, maybe not right now because AB's going through all that stuff. But before all this,
well,
you know what I mean,
like, Odell Beckham.
No...
It's rumored he might be on the trading block too. So yeah, I guess you could kind of theoretically at this moment in time make a decision between who you'd rather trade for.
Yeah, I mean at this time,
I'm trading
course,
for OBJ.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's gonna take Odell because of the stuff that's going off the field with AB. Plus Odell's younger, so there's a higher ceiling potential. You know what I mean? So
true.
I don't know. AB is going to end up somewhere, and I just hope that wherever he does end up, he's going to ball out. So
I think if he ends up in a place like San Francisco, that could be really interesting with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back.
I wouldn't
back.
Be surprised if he ends up on a team like the Cardinals or the 49ers or just a team that is sort of like not that high of a caliber team where they're just...
Well, because those are the kind of teams that are going to trade for somebody like
that's
him.
What I'm saying. They're gonna go and offer.
But I mean,
the most.
Is the dark horse in this situation not somehow, some way, the New England Patriots? I mean, is this not like
the Patriots aren't going to get Antonio Brown though?
How many people thought the Patriots were going to get Randy Moss?
Ooh, good point. Good point. And then what happened?
And they got a Randy Moss that nobody wanted because Randy Moss was traded to the Raiders or signed with the Raiders, whichever one. From Minnesota, so
yeah,
they basically get so. I mean, you have to ask yourself, why wouldn't they be all over this? They went out, they got Josh Gordon.
Yeah, but
I mean, as far as troublemaker, and he's a way better player than Josh Gordon, and has been able to at least stay legal to play in the NFL.
I guess AB doesn't really matter. You're trading for him, so it's not like you got to sign the man. It's not like
I don't see Cleveland Brown doing. I don't see the Browns doing.
No, I don't. I don't think the Steelers would trade to anybody in their division.
I don't think. Yeah,
I don't think
they
would do that.
Either.
You know what I mean? Because not that we need him. But we got AJ. We straight. But
yeah,
we straight.
Don't
we don't
headache.
Need him over there.
No,
but,
we don't need the headache.
I don't think they'll do that. Just the simple fact is they don't want him in the same division. But I don't know, man. I could see him ended up like in Miami or.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, they have no quarterback, so they'll be looking for a quarterback in the offseason.
But that's what I'm saying.
So
like a team
it would be
that
maybe
draft
potentially attractive to one.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, get like a Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State somehow and pair him with Antonio Brown.
We'll see.
But what happens the first time you run into a problem when you've already seen what he's done on the sidelines with the Steelers, who have won a lot more games? Like, what's going to happen when you put him on a team
that's not winning
football games?
Man. I don't know.
And he's coming from a team that, even though he was doing that shit,
he
was still winning football games.
Yeah, they were in the playoffs for the most part.
I mean, they were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. No, for the most part, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, for the most part, his
gotten,
career there.
He's got, what, one Super Bowl?
Yeah, one Super Bowl. Because he wasn't there for the one with the Cardinals. That was before his time there.
Then he's been,
because that was Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, that wasn't him on that
yeah,
team.
No, that wasn't him mm-hmm. on that team. That Plaxton, was Hines Ward.
Yeah, Hines Ward was still on that team.
Mm-hmm. That was, for as much as I don't like the Steelers, that was a good team. That was a good team. But I don't know, man. He'll end up somewhere. I'll just see if he keeps balling out at the caliber he is right now without Ben Roethlisberger. Because I read something that they had the most, like they had some record for most completions between the two or yardage between the two, just between like a quarterback and a receiver duo.
Yeah.
They hold some record for that. Word. I can't remember if it's receptions or yards or
what. I think it might be, because I know, I think Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison have one of those.
Right, right.
I think that one's receptions.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was.
No, I think that one's touchdown receptions. Is it touchdown receptions? Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison.
Oh, okay.
I think that Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown's is just straight receptions. Yeah.
Makes yeah. sense.
So, well, I guess we'll have to see how that pans out.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Yeah, it will be. There's a lot of couple free agents out there.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, you have all the ripple effects of, you know, the Joe Flacco trade, yep. Le'Veon Bell's free agency.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing Baltimore sign Le'Veon Bell. I really wouldn't.
We'll see.
I mean, they just dropped $10 million off the cap.
What about that Kareem Hunt?
To Cleveland?
Yeah.
That's huge. I'm not going to lie, bro. Yeah. That's huge.
That is big for Cleveland.
I mean, you put Baker Mayfield with Kareem Hunt now. Jarvis Landry, David Njoku.
Kansas City number two. Junior?
No, because I'm not putting Baker Mayfield in the same sentence as Patrick Mahomes right now. No.
Mayfield got skills, man. He got skills.
Yeah, I'm not denying that, but there's just something about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there's something about Baker Mayfield, too. But,
oh, for sure.
I guess we'll see next year for both of them because both of them will now have a year's worth of tape that teams can watch and teams can
now they got
pick
both
up
weapons.
On. So.
They both got weapons now, so.
Yeah, they definitely got
splash,
weapons.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
They definitely
they
got
splash,
weapons.
So.
You got Kareem Hunt. Or not Kareem Hunt. Yeah, Kareem Hunt on Cleveland now.
Yeah.
And Tyreek
yeah.
Hill on exactly. still on Kansas City. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. We'll see. I think next year is going to be really exciting for football.
Should be. I think so.
I think there's going to be a lot of moves, though. But what we were talking about earlier, the Kyler Murray things, kid out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have him listed at 5'10 on Oklahoma's roster, basically. People are saying he's closer to like 5'8.
No. You think he's that small?
Bro, he looks tiny when you see game tape.
I don't know. I've never seen him in person.
Like, I never seen him in person either. But when you see him compared to like 6'4 linemen, bro, he looks like we would look next to 6'4 linemen. And you're how tall?
I'm 5'11.
And I'm 5'9.
Yeah.
And he looks small out there.
I get it. Yeah, he's short.
But, I mean, I just think it's kind of ironic now that since he's like the hot thing, you're hearing all these people talk about, oh, height doesn't matter.
That was the biggest knock I remember on quarterbacks was like their size.
Correct.
For like being too short because you can't see over nobody.
Exactly.
That
when you
Drew
have
6'4",
6'5", lineman.
I remember
exactly.
Was, he's too small. Now he's lit it up for how many yards. And.
But the thing about it, though, is
not saying that every short quarterback is Drew Brees.
And that's my concern. The thing about it, though, is I find it kind of funny that you have a quarterback in Kyler Murray who will run the football.
Yeah.
Will run the football. He is a run-first style quarterback.
Yeah.
And yet nobody wants to talk about, oh, he's going to get hurt. Yet you have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson in Baltimore who is a run-first quarterback, and all you keep hearing about is how he's going to get hurt eventually. And yet you have this kid in Kyler Murray who's basically being pumped up so much to the point that there's rumors that are going around that the Cardinals are potentially looking to trade Josh Rosen so they can then get the number one pick to take Kyler Murray because he fits Cliff Kings. Like, this is literally the point that this kid is getting puffed up, which, yo, mad respect. If you know what I'm saying? I'm not here to hate on nobody. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here for that.
Heisman
like,
winner.
If you're a Heisman Trophy winner, you're a much better football player than I would have ever been.
Right.
Okay, so let me get that out of the way first off. But however, I'm 5'9 myself, and part of the reason why I knew I could never really go anywhere was because I was 5'9.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like they want to talk about how this kid can run, how this kid can do this, he can do this. Lamar Jackson can do the same thing, and yet all anybody wants to talk about is, oh, how he's going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt. But there's no indication of that going on with Kyler Murray.
Maybe because he's not in the league yet, though. Maybe because he's not in the league. I mean...
But wasn't that kind of the knock on Lamar Jackson coming into the draft?
Yeah.
Other than the fact that they basically tried to get him to...
But they said that he couldn't
play receiver.
Like, he's true. They straight up said he couldn't throw the ball. So, like, his only option was to run. So, I think he's sort of putting those naysayers to bed, but... Like, he's getting better at throwing. But Kyle, that's the thing. Murray, he can actually throw the ball, too. So, I think that's why they're not talking about it as much. But I think the more that the closer we get to the combine, I think it's really going to... They're going to start talking about it, for sure. Because that is going to be an issue.
Like, at what point in time,
right? Like, you run on, like, a scramble.
What's going to happen the first time he gets hit by somebody like a Haloti Ngata?
Like a Jadeveon Clowney. Like a
TJ Watt.
Oh my God.
JJ Watt.
You know what I mean? Like, that is a massive dude just blowing you up. Good luck to you.
I don't know. T Sizzle, because you know he's coming back.
But I mean, there are those exceptions, though, because I mean, even Russell Wilson, that's another one. He's not super big, and he's a runner.
Russell Wilson was also taken in the third round.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he was.
You know what I mean?
Like, he wasn't projected to be.
But even Russell Wilson is like, now. What do they have him at, 5'10"?
Probably. He ain't 6 foot, I know that.
But I think that, I don't know, I think the thing about Russell Wilson, though, is Russell Wilson is a lot more of a pass-first quarterback than Russell Wilson's style of play, even in when he played at NC State,
because he went to NC State
and then he went to Wisconsin. Oh,
okay.
He was more of a pocket passer then.
Yeah.
You know, and so now, you know, the way he plays in Seattle is he doesn't always play behind the greatest offensive line, first of all.
No, so he's got to stay alive.
So he's got to be able to extend the play. He doesn't have the fastest wide receivers. I mean, Doug Baldwin is a hell of a player. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he's
a hell of a player.
Yeah.
However, he's not what you would consider a prototypical wide receiver either.
No.
So in order to make that work, Wilson's got to keep time. But yeah. Wilson, to me, is much more in the line and lineage of Drew Brees' style of play than this Kyler Murray kid.
Yeah.
It's just not that same style of play.
Yeah.
So to me, I just wonder. And then to have turned down $4 million, like, of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And a possible career in baseball, like.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have made that decision. But
like, baseball money can be crazy money.
Crazy money.
And you were a first round pick in the baseball draft.
That's what I'm saying. You was hyped up for the baseball.
And sometimes, to me, to a certain extent, I do believe a little bit in a theory that is out there, and maybe it's just a theory that I've thought of, but I'm pretty sure I've heard it other places, where they're potentially using the NFL as almost a pry bar to get more money out of the Oakland A's.
What do you mean?
Okay, so think about it. If you're the Oakland A's and you drafted this kid first overall, or not first overall, but with your first pick, so right. It's first overall to your team, basically.
Oh, yeah, you're saying that they're using it basically as leverage to try to get the A's to come with more money
to get him back to
baseball?
Yes, because the contract that he has is like an MLB, like not necessarily a major league contract.
Oh, okay.
And so that there's rumors at some point in time where they had thought he was trying to get basically a guaranteed major league deal.
Got you. Okay.
Out of the Oakland A's. And what better way to do that than to say you're going to play football?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm walking.
Yeah.
How badly do you want me? I want to be on a major league Oakland A's roster. How badly do you want me?
I would do that.
If not, I'm going to go play football.
If he's doing that,
because I could potentially be a first-round pick in the NFL draft next year. That's
crazy. So in the MLB, it must be different then. They don't have like a set rookie type of contract.
Well, they gave him $4 million.
Like a rookie contract based on where you go in the draft, right? Like,
that's because they just redid that collective bargaining agreement.
Right, based on
right,
right,
because that's what the new CBA.
But the MLB's not like that. It's they can pay you based on.
Well, I think for the MLB, it depends on
guidelines. Maybe
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
But it's all guaranteed money,
right? That's my thing, though. Is like, I don't know. If I was in that position, I probably would have went the baseball route. But maybe he is doing that. Who knows? Maybe he'll jump ship last minute and be like, oh, I'm going back to baseball.
But in order to even get the NFL interested, you're going to have to at least come off like you're committed.
Oh, for sure. You would literally be creating. The NFL's not even going to look at you.
I mean, you're literally committing career suicide, because if your baseball career doesn't work out, you probably got a slim chance in hell you're ever going to get another shot in the NFL. Oh,
for sure, yeah. So you're basically guaranteeing yourself a W.
But if you get yourself a major league baseball contract,
you're set.
I mean, you're talking double digit millions of dollars. Right.
Even if you get that one contract.
Yeah, that's it. You're good. Like, if you spend that money wisely, you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
So, I mean, I guess that's plausible.
That's smart.
If that's what he's doing, more power to you,
bro. Hell yeah, that's
more
smart.
More power to you, bro.
Shit, like, use that leverage. Like, quite as much honestly, as you
more
can,
power
man,
to you, bro.
Shit.
Because as much money as you can get and make it while you still can make it, make
hell
it.
Yeah,
because
they will.
As long as you're not necessarily doing anything devious, you know, you're not. No. Whatever, I do mean, your thing.
Not stabbing people in the back. You're not doing nothing out of line.
No, especially in this situation where at the end of the day, successful. It's just sports.
Right. And they're going to move on to the next person as it is anyways, bro. Exactly. You're nothing but a jersey to them.
Exactly.
You're nothing but a jersey filler to them.
Because they're going to move on to the next person. You know what I mean? You know, so. The moment a young Lamar Jackson comes around.
The moment a
no more Joe Flacco.
A juju comes around, no more AB.
Yeah, no more AB.
Make them expandable in a sense. Think about it.
That's what it is. That's how cutthroat this business is. And in baseball, it's guaranteed money. So anything you sign for, you get no matter how long you stay basically with that team or whatever.
As Le'Veon Bell, too. Same thing in that sense.
True.
You know what I mean?
James Conner.
So.
Yeah, I feel you. So what else you been up to, man?
It's cutthroat. It's crazy. Nothing really, man. I've just been working, you know, same old stuff. There's really nothing new going on right now that I've been watching a couple basketball games.
Yeah, I watched a few. I watched the end of the Celtics-Sixers game. It was interesting.
I've seen the Suns lose game Love after Jason game Tatum, after man. Game.
12 in a row now?
Something like that. Too many in a row, I tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, it is hideous right now in Phoenix basketball. It is quite atrocious.
I think they said if they won something like if they won the rest of their games this season, like the last 25 games that they have left, I think they would still only have won like 31 games.
That's crazy. Yeah, because they've only won like 11 games. 11 games, like
yeah. Yeah, 11 games.
I want to go to Vegas to see how much I would win if I put $100 down to say they lose the rest of their games.
Probably I don't think they'll lose. That's 25. I mean, you'd be adding like, 25 to 12. Gosh. I mean,
okay, 37
game losing streak to end the year.
$100 that they don't get more than 15 wins.
Fool.
I might place that bet depending on how much you win. If that's right, you know
but,
what I mean.
But I mean, with the Suns, though, you're obviously going to make more money if you're betting on their success than if you're betting on their failure.
Right? Oh, of course. I'm just bushing, but.
But the over under.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's kind of scary. I mean, you have a lot of teams that were bad teams last year that are either equal or better than their wins last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think Dallas is one of them.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, and they just got Porzingis.
Yeah. They got a couple other cats, too, I can't think of right now.
So there's a good amount of teams that are improving. I don't know. The NBA is very tough for me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how Phoenix is supposed to get out of this rut. I mean, at some point in time, they're going to need some type of leadership there.
Yeah, for sure. And they have none of
I mean, if they end up with the number one overall pick, do you take Zion Williamson? I mean, I know you need a power forward, but you need a point guard. Like, you absolutely need a point guard. So how would you...
need somebody that's been in the league for more than 5 years. That's what you need.
That's staying healthy. Because quite honestly, man, I don't know. I got... shout-outs to Devin Booker. I like the kid, but...
Yeah, but I'm a little torn on him. If they need consistent
leadership, they need durability.
Yeah, but he's not... I can't... Like, for me... I can't expect him to even be like, even if he was 10 years in the league, if you play on this Suns team, you haven't even sniffed the playoffs, bro.
No, not even remotely
close.
So
you have no experience, like, other than playing NBA regular season games as far as, like, experience of like winning.
But who's, you know what I mean? A player? Okay, so don't you think it starts with the leadership like me, at like, the top okay, though so with like, the Suns?
For me, they need to bring in somebody that like a point guard, for example, a perfect leader for them would be like a Rajon Rondo. You know what I mean? Like yeah. somebody that's been in the league, that's had a successful career.
Yeah.
Has won a title. He's won a title. So just like something that's like, man, like this is what we have to do. Like this is the formula.
But don't you? But here's the thing: do you think that the leadership in the Suns even know the formula, though? Because
no, the coach doesn't know the formula. I think the coach,
the owner, don't know the formula.
The owner definitely. Oh my!
Robert Sarver definitely doesn't know the formula.
But they need a. I don't think the head coach they have was it
Igor Kochkov?
Yeah, that dude. He's I think he'd be like a good assistant coach, but I don't think he's like got that leadership, like. That you need, where it's like you need to gather these dudes together, get them like buying into your winning mentality, like want them to go out and actually effort, like
yeah, you give can you teach effort. Yeah, yeah.
He no, said you couldn't teach effort, like bro. You yeah, can like
he says he doesn't coach effort.
Yeah, like bro, right. You can absolutely coach effort. Like, what do you mean? Like when players buy into you and they believe what you're preaching, they're gonna go out and try hard to win.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I think that he sees coaching effort as actually being like, yo, you guys need to give it your all. When really the way right. that you coach effort is you get them involved yeah. in a system.
Right, buy into
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that they buy yeah. into because they've like, bought into their
now
coach.
Now they totally believe in
you. So now they
want to
play for right. you.
Exactly. Now
that's
they want
how
to go
teach.
Out and
that's
like,
how you coach
man,
effort.
I got to fucking play hard
right.
for this.
That's
team.
How you coach
you
effort.
You know what I mean? Like,
and I think a lot of that with the problem with that and the reason why they're not doing that is because he don't get them texts when he needs to get those texts as a coach. No. He's not standing up for his players
no,
who
exactly.
are not getting calls right,
right
now
exactly.
because they're a bad basketball team.
Like you need to be out there throwing a motherfucking chair across the floor.
Right,
you know
like,
what I mean? To show
some,
these dudes like,
yeah, that
like,
you
yo,
have their
like,
back.
No, fuck
yeah.
that. That's a bad call. Like I'm going to yeah. stand up for my dudes.
But
like,
at what point in time do the Phoenix Suns stop having first-time general managers and first-time head coaches?
Yeah, they just need to go get somebody
like,
that's
why have around. They not gone and got David Griffin yet? The guy who basically orchestrated
oh,
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cleveland Cavs.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Before he got fired.
Yeah.
After having the best record in the
yes.
East.
Like, why would you not go
know.
Get that general manager and,
right.
and let him just run the damn show?
Right, exactly.
Get a good head coach in there.
Yeah.
Not a first-time head
no,
coach.
Somebody
get an established
that's been around,
head coach.
Man.
Even if it's just a head coach that's established enough to turn around the culture
right.
of the program.
Right.
You know, in this case, the Suns, a professional team. If you can just get a coach in there to just change the culture and use that coach as a springboard
yeah.
to another coach that can just keep that winning way
going. Keep
that going.
Momentum going, exactly. Sort of like Golden State did with...
Yeah, with Steve Kerr after Mark...
Right, after
yeah,
Mark
I mean,
Jackson, in a sense. Like, he got that bar rolling.
Oh, yeah,
in
Mark
a
Jackson
sense.
Was an established
you
coach,
know what
I think,
mean?
At
like
that
he,
time.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he got that ball rolling, yeah. and then, you know, you plug somebody else in.
Right.
Shit.
And he
call
got
Mark Jackson.
Right.
you
no,
know what
I
mean? Like,
call Jeff Van Gundy.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
One
gosh.
Of them. Like, seriously.
You know
one of them. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. What's up with Arizona and these, like, trying to get these baby head coaches? And
I think that Arizona is
guys,
so tired
man.
Of being, like, in the shadow of California that they're trying to do things that seem
like.
Topic worthy,
yeah, headline
yeah,
worthy,
topic
where they're
worthy.
Like
not saying
be.
That some of them aren't working out because the Herm Edwards signing for ASU,
that,
I believe, is working
that
out.
That is working out.
I believe
that
that's working out.
Out
so far. I mean, he's had one good year, but we will see.
Yeah. Still ain't no title.
And that was a big newsworthy, you know,
oh,
topic.
Yeah, definitely.
When
they
did make that
in.
Hire, Bobby Hurley was a newsworthy topic when ASU basketball hired him
mm-hmm.
as their head coach. So far, ASU is getting it right in a sense. I mean, if Bobby Hurley never wins or gets that team to the NCAA tournament and has success within the tournament, he at least got that program relevant again.
Right, exactly. Like they're at
that's
least,
my point.
Yeah, exactly.
They're at least relevant again to where you're talking about ASU
you're talking about
getting
them.
Into the yeah. NCAA tournament or having a chance.
Yeah, having
in the past,
a legit
it's just like,
chance.
Yeah, you knew they weren't getting
hell
it.
Hell no, you knew they weren't
like,
going
you didn't
nowhere.
Know anything about ASU basketball.
Not at all,
you know,
man.
So that's the kind of thing that the Suns need. But I don't think that they're going to get it with a first-time,
no.
not even permanent general manager in James Jones
no.
and a first-time head coach in Igor. And I, oh, quite honestly, to me, I think the answer, at least at head coach, is at Grand Canyon University, and his name's Dan Marley.
Yeah, but he got it nice over there.
Of course he does.
He got it nice over there, man.
Shoot. But could you imagine being a player, getting all the way to the NBA Finals with that team, and then being able to come back as a coach?
Yeah, no.
And potentially build that team back up?
Mm-hmm. That'd be crazy. It'd be interesting to see if they did that. The Suns are too stupid.
I mean, he would be a first-time pro head coach, but he wouldn't be a first-time head coach.
No.
And at a program like GCU, it's almost like you have full autonomy because you have to do the recruiting as well.
Right.
When you're a head coach in the NBA, you might have a say in who you coach or who your, you know, players are. But at the end of the day, depending on your position, not a Greg Popovich, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, other head coaches don't necessarily have, you know, full control over a roster. Yeah, so, I don't know. I guess maybe that's just dreaming. But at some point in time, you know, I like the Suns. I think DeAndre Ayton can be exciting.
It's a dream.
I think Josh Jackson is playing really well.
He is playing really well. I'm
not exactly sold on Devin Booker. So, quite honestly, if he were to be the kind of player to start getting disgruntled, if I'm the Suns, I might consider letting him walk and just building the team around the wings that you have and DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. Maybe you move a TJ Warren to the two since he's improved his three-point shot. You keep Josh Jackson at the three. Yeah. Now you've got those two on the floor at the same time. You find a nice veteran point guard.
But I think there's so many moves that they can make in the offseason.
They got a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. They got a lot of money. They got
a lot of wings. High pick. Because I like Kelly Oubre, too.
That's what I'm saying. They got a high pick.
They're going to have a high lottery pick.
So they are set up to make a lot of opportunities are going to be there for them.
Yeah.
Let's just see which ones they take.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're the right ones. That's what I'm hoping for. But now I'm with you on the head coach and the general manager thing, man. I think they need to get somebody that's established, man.
No, I absolutely agree.
Like, I'm tired of this getting brand new first time guys type of thing. Like, nah, man, go get somebody that's been around the block for a minute. So
exactly, because they need somebody who's going to be able to stand up,
especially
for the
with
players.
All this young talent. Like, you have guys that ain't even, you have guys on your team that ain't even old enough to drink, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like, Devin Booker just had his 21st birthday not even that long ago. So like, these are a bunch of young talent that you have here. These guys don't even know what they're doing in the NBA. That's my biggest beef with the Suns right now, is they don't even know what they're doing.
But isn't that then correlate into a beef that you have with college basketball, that these players are coming out of college, most of whom are one and dones, and they're not even understanding how to play team basketball? They play individual basketball, which is what gets them drafted. And yet once they get to the NBA and it's required that you've got to play team basketball in order to win in the NBA, that they just don't know how to do it. And then basically it's put on these NBA head coaches to teach these kids how to play team basketball.
I mean, I see your argument there. I see
because
your point.
The NBA is basically now these rookies that come out are compiled of a bunch of kids who have been told for damn near their whole lives how they're going to get to the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? So to a certain extent, they've never necessarily had to, I don't mean struggle personally, like in their own lives. Clearly, a lot of these kids
go through their own stuff.
Yeah. I mean, on the basketball court. Like, so now,
yeah,
now
you're
it's
so
such
talented
a,
that,
yeah, that
you basically
you've never
breeze
lost.
Through the talent that you play.
Correct.
No, I
Until you
saying.
Get to the NBA, and not only
now you're playing against
are
the
these players just as talented, if not more talented than you,
better than you,
right?
Yeah.
They also have an understanding of how to play team basketball,
right,
and you have no understanding
just
of that.
Just as good as you.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of when, I mean, think about it. Like, when we talk about some of the last of the old school players, what we have in they have in common with each other, for the most part, literally, you know, exceptions you can probably count on one hand, spent more than 1 year in college. Michael Jordan spent 3 years at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Tim Duncan spent 3 years at Wake Forest.
Yeah, Shaq was at LSU.
You know what I'm saying? Shaq was at LSU for a couple of years. You know, Penny Hardaway came out of Memphis. He was there for a couple. All of these good players were there for a couple of years, with the exception of Kevin Garnett, who came out of high school, Kobe Bryant, who came out of high school,
LeBron James,
who came out of high school.
T-Mac, right?
T-Mac, I believe, came out of high school, but Vince Carter came out of college. He came out of North Carolina. He spent a couple of years in North Carolina. Alan, you know what Iverson I mean?
Did not come out of high school.
He came out of Georgetown. Georgetown. Yes.
Yeah,
so you see, like, so, and now we just live in an environment where college is literally, because you have to go, it's literally just a stepping stone to the NBA.
Nah, yeah, I see what you get there.
And, but the problem is what they're not understanding, in the reason why they should go and play college basketball is because they need to understand how to play team basketball.
Yeah, definitely.
And they don't do that. They just basically go there, they play basketball, but they don't play in a way that they understand how team concepts work. No, you play
college basketball is to show your talent.
Of course.
As an individual basketball player. Now it is. That's exactly what college basketball is. I completely believe that. You can see it in the games, literally. Like,
I mean, we had the Fab Five for a few years,
like,
bro.
A 30-second shot clock or something like that, and you can't get the ball.
But that wasn't that. That's been recent.
No, I know.
You know,
and
what
that's
I mean?
What I'm saying. But and you still see these broken down offensive plays, like the game looks like almost like recreational, like YMCA type basketball that you see, and it's
at times it really does.
I almost could be like, plug me in there, you know what I
it's
mean?
It's interesting to watch the tournament, don't get me wrong.
Oh, the tournament, they
I
turn
like to
it
watch
up,
the NCAA tournament because it's fun.
But at the
to
same
see.
Time, is a lot of the teams that go deep in the tournament who are a lot of the guys on the team.
Yeah, they're usually veterans.
You got a couple vets
usually,
on there.
You usually have
like
got
a center
and
or
juniors.
A couple point guards and guards that are seniors and juniors, you know what I mean? So they know.
I mean, you have this Duke team this year that's built with a bunch of freshmen, but you're always going to have those teams. Kentucky was that team.
It's Duke, Kentucky,
but who won the title
Kansas,
last year? Wasn't it Nova who won it last year?
Yeah, Villanova again, I think.
So it's like they have players that spend a few years there, and they have team basketball concepts.
Oh, for sure.
But those aren't always necessarily players who are talented enough to make it to the NBA.
Yeah, I just don't understand where the disconnect is where – NFL, you have to stay for 3 years.
Right.
Baseball, I'm not too sure on the baseball.
Baseball, right. With baseball, you can enter the draft. Or you have to, if you take a call, like if you go to college, you have to stay there for like two or
a
three
years,
of college.
Right. Yeah, if you
if
go
you
to
decide
college,
to go to
right.
college, or you can try to go straight to
right,
the MLB.
But it's not like you can just go for like 6 months or one season,
correct,
and then dip to
and
go
then
to
just
MLB.
No,
you can't do that.
No, you have
so
to
I don't
actually go for
why
a few
you're
years.
Able to just go to literally not even play a full year of college basketball, because there's literally players like his fucking name is slipping, played at UConn, and he played like 12 games. He is a guard, point guard, probably about 5 years ago.
Where did he come from? We'll have to look him up.
I can't think of.
Well, the thing about
basketball. Was it Kemba Walker?
Maybe.
Maybe it was Kemba Walker. He's still in the
He's league, from though. UConn.
Maybe it was Kemba Walker. I literally think he played like it was one guard. Maybe it was him. I'm pretty sure it was him. He played like 12 games, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, he came. I think it's because he came off of an injury, though,
right,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but like, I don't know if it was an injury or something. He played late in the year or something like that. I just remember.
Oh no,
you're
thinking of Michael Carter Jr.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, he's a forward that came out of the league literally the year Josh Jackson came out. I believe it was last year. No, because they got DeAndre Ayton last year, right?
Yeah, Josh
Jackson
was.
It was last year. It was the same year that they got Mikal Bridges because they ended up trading to get Mikal Bridges. So it was last year. It was that Michael. I think it was like Michael Carter Jr. and
Michael
I think he
Porter.
Was yeah Michael Porter Jr.
That was what it was. Michael
That's who
Porter.
It was. Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
he was out of Missouri because he was coming off of an injury. But he missed most of the fray. He played like the first game and then didn't play again until the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and then you go to the tournament which,
and got drafted in the first round of the NBA.
And it's like what? Like you didn't play, you didn't have a college basketball career. Like your career
Correct.
Is less than 10 games.
Correct.
Like your college. How does that even? How is that established?
I have no clue.
And you know what I mean? Like, how is that established enough to? It almost is like, okay, what's the point?
Right.
Just let them come out of high school then if you're going to do that.
But how many of them do you think would actually make it coming out of high school?
That's my thing, though, is like, how many of them won't? How many of them will be like, okay, coming out of high school, can I make it? How many of them will rethink, like, coming out of high school? Hell no, I ain't gonna make it in the NBA. Like Zion Williamson, he would probably make it. But how many players, like, do you really think would have made it.
Do you think a DeAndre Ayton would have made it out of high school?
Yes, based on his size.
Yeah, he is a bit of a physical
based on specimen. His size.
He's got a shot too.
You know what I mean? But like other players that are like small players that you just see him like light up. That one little stint that they had in college basketball, and then they end up on a team. You know what I mean? On a like a high pick, like a top 15 pick in the NBA draft type.
I mean,
of
I think even Steph Curry spent a couple of years at Davidson.
That's what I'm saying.
Like even Steph Curry wasn't one and done. I don't think Klay Thompson was one and done either.
That's why I don't even Draymond Green.
Nah, he wasn't one.
He wasn't no one and done.
He was a 2 year at
Michigan
player.
State. So
no, he might have been a 4 year player.
So it's like, man, it's like I don't know. It almost is like
Kevin Durant was one and done, but
like I said, based on just your size alone,
I can only imagine being Kevin Durant's size in this world.
Some players is like, all right, you're just physically able to go.
Yeah,
Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a Joel Embiid, you would have came.
So, do you think though, then the college basketball should adopt a system more like college baseball, where if you're gonna go to college, you gotta stay for a few years?
Yeah, exactly. Like either do like. If you decide to go to college and you got to stay or three seasons, mm-hmm. then you can go to the NBA. If not, try your luck at going straight out of high school and see
right.
what happens.
Right.
If you think,
but
you're
don't
that
hire
good.
An agent, because the moment you hire an agent,
you
give
can't
up your
play
amateur
college basketball.
Status, right.
Exactly. Right. So I think it needs to be one of those things.
What about the idea though that they're using the G League more?
I'm with that too, but
where now there's an option where you could potentially sign with the G League out of high school as opposed to be going into the NBA draft. And as opposed to going to college. So basically you'd be drafted by a minor league baseball team or basketball team in a sense. But that's a team, you know, that's a league where there's immediate development into the NBA. You're not having to commit to school.
That's one of those options. Like with you being able to like either declare for the draft. If you declare for the draft out of high school, then you're declaring for the draft for the NBA or the NBA G League.
Okay, so if an NBA team says, okay, we'll take you, but if you don't get taken in the NBA draft,
then the G League can
pick you
can
go to the G League.
Yeah, exactly, and you can go that route if you just want to avoid college altogether.
Right.
But understand that.
And not necessarily
go overseas. That's a huge risk. That's a huge risk at the same time, because if you do,
only
if you
hire
an
agent.
You're going to have to hire an agent. You're going to have to. I mean, I guess you could sign your own contract.
Some people go way late into it before they hire an agent to the point where they know, like, okay, I've had teams calling me. Like, I know I've got some kind of interest. Because there are, like, firms out there that you can hire to, like, go out and basically investigate, pull teams, figure out, okay, where they would think you would go in the draft. And you can determine whether or not you want to enter the draft based on that information.
Yeah, they're not.
And sometimes the college that you got to go to college first. But sometimes the colleges that they play like football and stuff, that's how kids will decide when they're ready to leave college.
Gotcha.
Is based on where they think they might go in the draft.
Yeah. So I don't know why don't they do something like that, man? I just don't understand. This whole like, oh, you got to go for 1 year and then you can just declare for the draft. And then as soon as they have, like, that hot 1 year in college,
right.
they're in the
and
draft.
And then they fizzle out.
And then they fizzle out, man. And
they fizzle
the talent
out.
Is so high compared to so low in
right.
the NBA. Where,
right.
like, your best is way up here compared to
I mean, you have a team in, I think the Orlando Magic are 4 or 5 games below 500, and they're a game and a half out of the 8th seed in the East.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's killing.
Like, in my opinion, like, if you're not a 500 basketball team, you have no business being in the playoffs.
Anywhere near the playoffs? Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you have a losing record, whether it be by one game or 18 games,
you
have no business being
in the
playoffs. You have not. If you've at least won as many games as you've lost, okay, I get it.
Right, maybe.
But if you, maybe. But if you haven't, like, I'm to the point where it's like, all right, cool, so you got 8 teams in the East and 8 in the West, right?
Yeah, to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If they don't have, like, so in this case, if the East does not have a representative in the 8th seed, that's not over 500.
Take a team from the West?
No, then the number 1 seed in the East gets a bye.
Oh, that... that might as well. Yeah,
and they get a bye because you know that team in the 8th seed is, oh my goodness, you're going
to
get fucking destroyed.
That's
so
a whole bunch
give.
Of waste of money,
thank
and flight,
I mean,
and all that time and all
just
that.
To watch that team get lambasted because what 8th seed that's had a losing record has ever beaten a number 1 seed in the NBA playoffs?
I'll go as far as to say even won a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Because you're not a very good basketball team. You're a losing team. Right now, if you put the Orlando Magic up against either the Boston Celtics, I'm not even sure who's number one in the East right now, but either the Boston Celtics, isn't it the Bucks?
I think it might be Milwaukee.
Or Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto.
If you put up the Orlando Magic against Milwaukee or Toronto, or the Sixers now, because the season ain't over yet, and they just got Tobias Harris, and Boston, if they can get it together, Gordon Hayward coming off of 6 threes last night and 26 points. Okay, who's winning that series?
Exactly.
So why would you even bother to put that garbage on television? Because the NBA playoffs start, people really start watching.
Yeah, that's when.
Because I actually, my favorite time to enjoy the NBA is post All-Star break.
Yeah, I get you.
That, because teams start ramping up for the playoff runs, and they start turning it up. Bro, that's when you start seeing really good NBA basketball, and then it translates into the playoffs. However, if you're a team that is not a winning record, you have no business in the playoffs.
No, not at all.
Because that's not going to be entertaining basketball. You're going to get destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd rather just let that number one seed be like, yo, congratulations. You worked your ass off all year, and now you get a bye because you're lucky enough to be in a conference.
This team couldn't even do this.
You know what I mean? That doesn't have enough teams. Or, I mean, the only thing about the West, though, is that would cause a lot of early travel issues.
Nah, yeah, you can't do the whole take the team from another conference. And,
but what if instead they eliminated conference seeding? And you just took the top 16 teams.
Just a power ranking?
Yeah, you just have the top 16 seeds. I don't like that. Like the top 16 teams.
I don't like that. I like the East versus West type of thing.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I do.
I mean, it allows for...
I wish the NFL was like that. Like, I know it's NFC versus AFC.
Oh, like an East versus West.
It was East versus West. That'd be kind of cool. There's just more teams in the
NFL. Well, you have 32. So, you only have two more.
But I'm saying I think there's a ton more teams on the...
Oh, on the East Coast and on the West Coast?
In the NFL,
yeah. I don't think you'd be able to divide it on the Mississippi.
Yeah, it's not like even split like how the NBA does it.
You know what? I'm going to look that up. That's actually a good concept. Yeah, we should look that up and talk about that another time. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Make a little bracket or something.
Because, I mean, you'd still have to have divisions, but then you'd break it down to basically four divisions.
But, yeah, it'd be like Southwest, Northwest, Midwest.
Well, and even the way the NBA has it, I mean, you have the Northeast, the Southeast, and the Central.
You got Central.
And then in the West, you have the Pacific, the Northwest.
Northwest and the
Midwest. And the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it.
And the only weird alignment is that the OKC play in the Northwest because they used to be the Sonics.
Yeah.
So they're in the same division as Portland.
Yeah. It's kind of weird still.
But I mean, I guess that could be interesting. If it could work in the NFL, that'd make for some crazy rivalries.
That would be some cool rivalries.
Though. I think, because... Yeah, you know, I was thinking, what about the two city teams, or the two team cities? But you have those in the NBA, and that's not an issue.
Because you got LA.
Because that's the problem with, like...
I mean, you even got
with, like, the NFL, is they don't have same conference teams in the same cities. So, like, you have to have opposite conference teams.
So, you don't have, like, the Clippers and the Lakers in the same...
In the same division.
In the same division.
Yeah, like in the NFL, you have the Chargers and the Rams.
Right.
But one of them has to be AFC and one of them has to be NFC. So if the when it was thought that the Rams or when it was thought that the Chargers and the Raiders were going to move to LA, then one of them would have potentially had to switch division or switch conferences.
Got you. That's weird.
Which is, I think, some of the reason why Oakland didn't go.
I wonder why that is, though.
I don't know. It's some NFL thing.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Weird. I never understood the NFC AFC thing, but I never really looked into the history of the NFL like that. So.
Oh, well, if you want to get into that real quick, because we got nothing else to talk about. We got a little bit of time to make this episode. So the NFL, so back in the day before the NFL, you had the NFL and the AFL.
Right.
Right. So before you know, we have Super Bowl one, right? So that's basically the origination of the conferences.
Oh, the NFC,
so when they
AFC.
Came under the NFL umbrella, the teams that were in the AFL became the AFC,
right?
And the teams that were in the NFL became the NFC.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's how they basically created those conferences under the one NFL umbrella when they merged. Okay. And that's when you had the
Packers,
Dallas Texans, who became the Kansas City Chiefs, played the Green Bay Packers.
Gotcha.
So And that's why the Chiefs are still an AFC team, but they're one of the original teams in the NFL, the umbrellaed NFL. But they were at one point in time the Dallas Texans when they were in the AFL. And then that's moved and became the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's basically where the conferences started. Buffalo is an AFC team, so they were in the AFL.
Chicago, though.
The Bears were always in the NFL. The Cardinals were always in the NFL, but they were in St. Louis originally. Well, Chicago originally, then St. Louis, then Arizona.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's only been one team that I can recall that has switched conferences, and it's when they did the division realignment and they turned it into 32 teams. Was when they moved the Seahawks from the AFC to the NFC. Because the Seahawks, before the alignment of the NFL as we know it now, where you have, you know, AFC, NFC, and then it's north, south, east, and west, basically. Right. Before they did that, the divisions were different. Because if you remember, you were probably really young, but when we first moved out to Arizona in 94, the Cardinals were in the NFC East division with the Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's why the Cowboys always came to town, and you had so many Cowboys fans out here.
Gotcha.
It's because they were in the same division. The New York Giants were also in the same division as the Cardinals.
Oh,
so that the NFC East was a five-team division.
Gotcha.
Back then, because that was from when the Cardinals played at one point in time in Chicago and then in St. Louis.
Gotcha.
They were considered East at that moment. So when they did the realignment, that's when they put the 49ers, Cardinals, Seahawks, which they brought from the AFC.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because there was an uneven amount of teams, AFC, NFC. So they brought the Seahawks over and created the new NFC West, which now has the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the 49ers.
Ah, oh, that's right.
So you have that, and then that's when they basically just kept the NFC East what it is, because they just pulled the Cardinals out of it, and that's why you have the Redskins, Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles.
Right.
So that was all right there already.
Huh, that's crazy.
So, yeah, and that realignment was right around, I want to say the late 90s was when they did that realignment. After it was a couple of years, I believe, after the Panthers and Jaguars came into the league. Because they came into the league at the same year.
That's crazy.
But if you notice, in order to have done it, they needed two teams, and one of them had to be AFC and one had to be NFC. Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
So for some reason, that's how the NFL has always done it.
That's crazy. It's kind of crazy to think that they just, I wonder how they decided that. As far as, like, the new teams, like, who is who?
Who is going to be what?
AFC, NFC.
You know, I don't know, honestly, like, who decided what conference they would be. I guess they would maybe base it on who is in that area.
Yeah, I was
going to
say where you're at, maybe. Because
I'm sure that at some point in time, you know, you have some people in those areas that are getting the new teams that are fans of teams also regionally.
Right.
So I'm sure Jacksonville had a lot of Texans and Colts fans and Falcons fans. So they probably wanted to play in a South division.
Yeah.
So with, you know, the Jags, they're in the AFC. With the Panthers, they're in the NFC. So I don't know. It's
kind of weird.
So maybe it allows them to be in the opposite division of other teams in that regional area. I don't know. That's just always how they've been. They've always been one and one like that.
I always thought the NBA was a lot simpler.
The NBA is a bit simpler when it comes to that type of stuff.
When it came to that.
But I think also the NBA doesn't have a choice because of the amount of travel.
Yeah.
They've got to keep divisions and conferences really close together.
You can't be flying all over the damn country.
No, three, four times a week. Yeah, no. You got to be able to stay in regions.
Yeah, exactly, where you play different teams in the same. You can get to the same city in, you know, relatively quick time.
Oh, yeah, between teams. And in the NFL, you do it once a week.
Right, exactly.
So it's literally just one day worth of travel, and then you're there until you leave.
Right.
With the NBA, that's a lot of traveling. It would be a nightmare for schedule makers, I imagine.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely.
So, speaking of the schedule, I saw that the Ravens come out. Total side note, the Ravens come out to L.A. again this year to play the Rams.
Oh, we're trying to get some tickets out there or what? Ah, that weird-ass stadium, though. They're still playing at that.
Well, it'd be the Coliseum because they'd be playing the Rams. This year, if I would have went, they played the Chargers, it would have been in the StubHub Stadium, the soccer stadium.
Oh, okay.
But if I go this year, it would be at the Coliseum, USC.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. We'll see what the prices is looking like.
That'd be cool to go out there to that.
It'd be dope.
L.A.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. I've never taken the wife to L.A. We've only been to San Diego, so.
I was looking, too, the Raiders. Gonna get some tickets to the game down in Tucson or what?
No, I might get some tickets if the Ravens play the Raiders in Vegas, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, that'd be
or the Bengals.
We'll go. I'll go just to see the Raiders play whoever in fucking. That's true. I'll get faded out there.
That's true.
That stadium is probably they're probably gonna have a strip club in the stadium.
Oh damn! Touchdown stripper pole. Right. That would be hilarious. They would definitely have fucking gambling in the.
Oh, probably at your seat.
Man, that's going to be crazy. Probably like, you can gamble seat, on the game, bro. Gamble on other right. games. Like, gamble you are on in if they Vegas. Get a first down bro.
Right now?
Yes.
Press a button.
Yes.
Type of thing. Like, yeah, that'd be crazy.
Like 5 cents if they right. get a first down right now. Nah, five. Just, a penny if right. he catches or you just this got pass. Your money or
loaded
something.
Into the machine. Yeah, and then you just
swipe it.
Bet on little bets that come up. That'd be cool shit.
Yeah, you might come up big. You might lose your might ass, lose big too. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have fun doing it.
You smart That's enough to know the Bengals ain't good.
So. Oh, you still you're stupid.
Be like, get a first down. Like, no, nah, I ain't getting no first down. Nah, you ain't gonna do it. You save the money you have. But that would be cool. I could imagine that.
That'd be cool.
Big changes in the NFL coming.
Oh, for sure.
Especially when it comes to the gambling now.
Yeah.
With the way that they changed that.
Yeah, and they're still trying to get that whole sports out here.
Yeah, it's gonna change the way sports are completely.
Sports betting. That'd be cool.
Yeah, man. That's about it for us tonight, I think.
Yeah, not really much.
No, kind of no newsworthy stuff. I hope we'll get into something next week. I mean, there were the Grammys, but we don't watch them. Yeah. They're not anything.
Although, man. I do got to give shout out Cardi B. First,
Cardi B has no business winning Best Rap Album, first off.
You stop it?
You drinking that girl Kool-Aid there.
Look, I'm not.
Bro, Cardi B had a better album than Nipsey's Victory Lap.
Nipsey's Victory Lap was hot.
I'm not a huge Nipsey dude. Don't get me wrong. But I respect Nipsey, but you're going to tell me that was a better... That Cardi B was a better album? On. I mean, I was surprised Nipsey got nominated, first off. But second, not because he's not talented, for the same reason why you're saying... Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's why I'm surprised he even got nominated. But Cardi B's... come on, bro. I can't... I mean, I'm not even a Pusha T fan, and quite honestly, an 8-track CD should not even be worthy of a Grammy nomination for Best Rap Album, because that's not a fucking album, that's a mixtape. However, even that shit was better than Cardi B's album.
Look. She won the award, first female solo rapper ever to win that award.
Correct, and that's saying something, because... Yes. That's even more reason why she had no business winning
that damn award.
For all the other female MCs out there who have not won that award, though. Come on now.
Look.
How does Kendrick Lamar not win?
Because he gets snubbed at the Grammys every time. But everybody knows that the Grammys snub.
The Grammys went with the popular choice on the rap category. I mean,
did you see them cut out Drake?
Yeah, they cut his mic off. Yeah, because he was talking about how the Grammy didn't matter.
Yeah, the Grammy was a bunch of bullshit.
Well, he was
totally right.
Like, he wasn't overtly trashing the Grammys. He was doing every it in point a that he manner, made though. Made sense though. Like,
yeah, he was like, this like don't
if you,
matter.
Yeah, like if you didn't are, win this,
yeah, people reciting your songs word for word, you're exactly. winning.
You, yo. Yeah, like, you're winning. Like you're talking, successful.
He's talking to other artists on an artist type of level.
Yeah,
you know,
so why cut him off like that?
But the Grammys did him wrong.
Like, why cut him off like that? So that's why fucking Childish Gambino won all them awards and wasn't even there.
Said fuck y'all. Yeah, all of that.
I mean, he won Song of the Year for This Is America, one of the most controversial music videos. In music history, in American music history,
right?
Maybe world music history. One of the most controversial videos that has now, the last time I checked on YouTube, has been viewed 486 million times.
Jesus.
Imagine if you got 50 cents of you.
Right.
Imagine if you got a fucking quarter of you.
Right. Jesus.
Like, wow.
But yeah, that was a...
And he wasn't even there.
The Grammys are the Grammys, though, man. Everybody knows that the Grammys have been snubbing hip-hop for years.
Forever. I mean, quite years. Honestly, that's why a lot of people were surprised Drake was even there to accept the award.
Yeah, I was myself.
Because he in the past has been an artist who has not even sent his work in to be considered at times.
Same with J. Cole. He's one that does not submit his music. He doesn't submit his music
to the Grammys. Yeah.
Imagine if he did.
Man, and J. Cole didn't could win. Shake that shit up so snubbed. Much, bro.
Whole bunch of snubs.
Oh, he would be snubbed.
He would be He'd snubbed. He'd be
snubbed. And J. Cole is a talented young man.
Even Jay-Z and Beyonce, I know they won, I think they won, or they were nominated for something, but even they got snubbed on their...
Yeah, I don't think they won theirs.
Co-op album. So, I don't know, man. There's a bunch. It's the Grammys. When award shows like that, I'm sort of banned on because it's just people voting.
I feel you.
You know what I mean?
It's an opinion-based thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, it's sort of an opinion. It doesn't really go off any factual evidence.
The world is different, too. But the world is different about music now, too. I mean, I'll give it that. It's not the...
As far as...
Music is not consumed in the same way that it used to be.
No.
When the Grammys were really in their prime.
You can be a... Like, you can be a huge artist with just having singles.
Yeah, of course.
Nowadays, you know what I mean? Of course. You have to have a good album.
Yeah, and there's just no, like, music videos used to be a big thing. Huge thing. Music videos are really only hanging on.
Just cause.
Yeah, just cause. Like, it's just something you like. It's a song you like so much you want to make a video to really promote that song.
Yeah, I think it's more like, yeah. Because
now it's about the views.
Yeah, I think it's more about the artist wanting to, like, express more artistic.
Like, nah, let's do this. Let's do a video of this one because it's a fun song.
I don't think if people stop making music videos tomorrow, I don't think people are going to be in uproar.
No, back in the day, though, like, you had to have a music video for every single. Like, you know what I'm saying? Every single had a music video.
Because that's how you played it on MTV.
Of course.
MTV don't play... What?
Well, kids don't even know that.
It's called RTV now. Reality television.
That's what VH1 is. VH1 was a music-only channel, and now it's fucking reality television.
Reality television.
So, the music industry is different, but that's why the Grammys ain't shit.
No, exactly.
What are you looking forward to this weekend? We'll end the show on that. Yo,
I
just gotta work.
Yeah, I was about to say nothing, really, because I gotta work. Honestly, I don't know, man. I'm gonna try to watch some of that AAF if I can watch any of that.
Oh, yeah. You got a game, couple games Sunday and a couple games Saturday. I think the Arizona team plays on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to check that
out. So they're 1-0. Shout out to Arizona Hotshots. We'll have to come check you guys out. It seems pretty cool. Yeah, I'll have to check out tickets. I don't mind. It's a nice time of year right now to go watch some football, especially ASU.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, no, that'll be cool. Yeah, okay. That seems like something cool to look forward to. I got to look forward to washing the car.
But I got to do that too.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to that. Well, there's always Sunday. We could do that again.
Yeah,
Sunday. This time we'll go get some food or something afterwards and grill it up for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, episode 11 in the books.
Yeah.
We're on our way to 20.
Almost there.
We're on our way to 100.
Signing off.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We're getting there, though.
All right, guys. Next week, signing off.
Later.